they're both in Duluth.
Yeah, I assume they'll both be in the same spot.
Do we have attorneys for the next case on the calendar present in Duluth? Jordan versus Brevatar?
Your Honor, I'm not quite finished yet today.
Oh.
I'll be back for the second one, and Mr. Paul has just walked in the room.
Okay, and you're both in the same room this time?
We are.
Perfect. Okay, well, we know we're working. So is Mr. Paul present and ready to begin? We might be a few minutes early. Does he need time? Mr. Paul?
We are on time. 11:20.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my watch is slow.
There he is.
Go ahead and introduce yourself for the record, and you may begin your argument as counsel for appellant in the case of Jordan versus Town of Brevatar.
Thank you very much. Good morning. My name is William Paul. I am the attorney for Catherine Jordan as trustee for the Jordan Family Administrative Trust. The Jordan Family Administrative Trust owns the property at the very end of the Gift Road, located in Brevatar Township, which is outside of Cloquet, Minnesota. The dispute we're here to address is the Town of Brevatar's attempt to vacate the very end of the Gift Road. There were two attempts, Your Honor. One was in the year 2000, and the other was in the year 2018. My client is attacking the validity of both of those attempts to vacate.
Well, counsel, you know, we're familiar with the facts in this record. Ross Jordan actually goes to the township and requests what he got. He initiated the action, made the request, tendered his money for the culvert, and the town did what he asked for them. Don't you have a limitations time in terms of now trying to attack something that happened 20 years hindsight?
No, Your Honor, here's why. The statute addressing road vacations is very fact specific. There are exact procedures that are required to be followed. And frankly, the township didn't follow any of them. And so there are two reasons, Your Honor, that this matter relating to the effort to vacate the road in 2000 fails and is not barred by a time limit are two reasons. Number one, the township had no jurisdiction to vacate the town road in the year 2000 because it did not follow the statutory requirements in order to vacate a road.
But the town was not the petitioning party to vacate the town road. This came about because your client's predecessor in interest, Ross Jordan, made the request.
I understand your position in that regard, Your Honor.
Do you have any case law that supports the position that you're maintaining, that now you can claim that there was not proper procedure when the initiating party is who brought this about in the first place?
There's plenty of case law that says if the statute is not strictly followed, Your Honor, the township has no jurisdiction. There summary judgment, and they're all contained in the record. Off the top of my head, I cannot cite you one, but...
But, counsel, are those cases in which the person who was complaining about lack of compliance with statute was the same person who requested the ultimate vacation of the road? I'm just wondering if there isn't some sort of waiver issue here. You generally can't be heard to complain about noncompliance with statutory requirements when you requested the relief and obtained the relief and then didn't complain about it for all these years.
Well, Your Honor, again, I respectfully disagree. If you look at the record from the year 2000, there was a discussion. It's, in summary, there was no petition, Your Honor. There was no petition filed by Ross Jordan to vacate the end of the Gist Road.
Our record shows that Ross Jordan was present and that he attended the road vacation hearing. How do we fit those facts in with Freeman versus Township of Pine City, in which the Supreme Court said notice is considered to be valid for all persons served and also those who are not served who appear and take part in the proceedings? Clearly, Mr. Jordan took part in the proceedings. But we have case law, we have guiding case law, unless you can tell me some other case that I am not aware of that says if you show up and partake, you have essentially waived any claim that you didn't have notice or that notice was not served.
Well, Your Honor, I am not prepared to be able to cite you any case right now. There are all sorts of cases that say if a township has to strictly comply with the statutory requirements, they can't vacate the end of a road or any portion of a road without following the statutory requirements. And it's, to me, undisputed that the town of Prevator tried to do it in some other manner. And that there's plenty of cases that say a township's attempt to vacate a road in a manner other than required by the statute is not proper, and it deprives the township of jurisdiction.
Counsel, could you specify for the court exactly how the township, in your view, failed to comply with the statute? What are the alleged failures?
And that is contained, Your Honor, in detail in appellate reply brief. For example, subdivision 2 of 164.07 requires that the petition to vacate the portion of the road sought to be vacated, quote, shall be filed with the town court, who shall present it to the town board. That was never done back in the year 2000. The subdivision also requires that within 30 days after filing the petition, quote, in order describing as nearly as practicable the road proposed to be vacated, etc., and fixing a time and place when and where it will meet and act upon the petition, there was not any such notice. Undisputed that there was no notice, nor was the time and place designated for any such meeting regarding the proposed vacation. Subdivision 2 further states and requires that the order contain a notice to effective landowners and that a landowner is entitled to judicial review of a damage award. Again, no order was prepared in accordance with that subdivision of 164.07. Then subdivision 3, Your Honor, says it requires the town board at the time and date designated, quote, meet and on proof of affidavit of giving of such notice, it shall examine the road proposed to be established, altered, or vacated, hear all parties interested, and determine whether it will grant or refuse the petition. Again, since there was never any of the preceding things, there was no road vacation meeting, which is required under the statute. It shall, Your Honor, it is a shall.
So, counsel, generally it sounds like those failures have to do with notice. And the Freeman case pretty clearly says proceedings for laying out of a public road are valid as to all persons properly served and to those also upon whom notice is not served who appear and take part therein. and where an owner of affected land was present at the hearing of the petition for the road and was one of the petitioners, as to him and his land, the road is valid regardless of proof of posting or service of notice. I mean, just sort of the basic concept of you can't complain about lack of notice if you initiated the proceeding, correctly or not, were present at the proceeding, and received a benefit from the proceeding. Why don't those concepts apply here?
Because it's a jurisdictional question, Your Honor.
Why is it jurisdictional?
Because if the township does not follow the steps to vacate a road, strictly, Your Honor, strictly follow the those steps, all of them, and again, I refer you to...
Does the statute say it's jurisdictional? Does a case say those are jurisdictional requirements?
The case says it, and the as an attachment to a motion for summary judgment, there is a checklist prepared by Mr. Troy Gilchrist about how to vacate a township, how to properly vacate a road.
Is it the case that says these statutory requirements jurisdictional cited in your brief? If so, could you tell me the name of the case?
Your Honor, no, I can't. It is cited, it's either in the motion for summary judgment or in the brief. And moreover, if I can move on from the jurisdictional argument, the township admitted that its 2000 order was invalid. The legal description was wrong. The order itself, Your Honor, if I may, this is an actual quote. It says, whereas the town board issued an order vacating the end of Gift Road pursuant to blah, 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 dated the 11th day of April 2000, whereas said order vacating the end of Gift Road was recorded March 23rd, 2001, whereas said order contains an error in the starting point that cannot be resolved. This is the township now, Your Honor, saying our efforts to vacate the end of the Gift Road in 2000 failed. And it's not just in a passive comment at a board meeting. They actually hired an attorney who prepared this order, and a corrective order was called. And if you look at the statute, there's nothing in the statute that allows...
Let me ask you this question. Is it impossible to locate the final 300 feet of the road? Is it impossible to find the final 300 feet? Certainly, one should be able to make that determination, right?
Well, it all depends on where the starting point and ending point are, Your Honor, because...
But we're talking about the final 300 feet of the road. I'm not talking about the legal description. I'm talking about the difference in different case opinions in which there's no way to determine what's being addressed. But the final 300 feet sounds pretty specific to me.
Well, it's not based upon the legal description, Your Honor. The legal description, as admitted by the respondent, town, was fatally flawed. And again, it says causing said vacation to fail. And I'm not skirting answering your question, Your Honor, because part of Gift Road goes into the Jordan property, is on the Jordan property. So when you say the end of Gift Road, do you go into the Jordan property and include the 180 feet that is on the Jordan property? So then only 120 feet of the end of the
how do you have standing to assert any plausible claim on behalf of a tribe? They, to me, it doesn't seem as if they're a part of your action here.
Well, again, I respectfully disagree, Your Honor. The case law, skipping to the year 2018, the town of Perimeter claims to have vacated the...
But, sir, you're asserting rights on behalf of... You are asserting rights on behalf of a sovereignty, the Fond du Lac tribe. What standing do you have?
I am not attempting to argue on behalf of the tribe. I'm attempting to persuade this court that the township of Brevener could not vacate the end of the Gist Road and then reserve and a cartway. Can be done. Indeed, if you look at the Silver case, and that's cited in many different, that in that case, this court held that a town could not take state land for the establishment of a cartway. Now, and the establishment of a cartway is an exercise in eminent domain. All of the case law is crystal clear that a township or a lesser governmental entity cannot exercise the power of eminent domain over Indian lands. I'm not here arguing on behalf of tribe. I'm here saying the township can't make up its own rules and say we are going to vacate the end of the Gist Road, but forget to allow Catherine Jordan and the trust and the property owner to have access. We are then going to reserve an access easement or reserve a cartway. If you do a Westlaw search, there is not one other case, not in the state, but I mean in the country, where a road is vacated and a cartway is reserved. There's only one way to establish a cartway, and that is by the statute establishing a cartway. And importantly, Your Honor...
Counsel, your time for your primary argument has expired. You'll have 5 minutes on rebuttal to continue with your argument. Counsel, could you begin by introducing yourself for the record once more?
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Scott Witte, and may it please the court, counsel, I'm appearing on behalf of the respondent, Town of Brevener, in this appeal matter. Your Honor, I would start with the point that this case rises and falls on an agreement reached between the appellant's predecessor in interest, Ross and Phyllis Jordan, and the town. The issues really at every turn again, you're going to hear me say this agreement, going back to the agreement, really dictates that. First, as the court is aware, the waiver issue has been raised by the town. That is, based on the Freeman case, the Jordan's attendance and participation waived any procedural deficiencies from those proceedings. But second, just to address a couple, Mr. Paul stated that there was no award of damages resulting from those proceedings. Your Honor, a careful reading of 164.07, which is the establishment, alteration, or vacation of town road statute, clearly indicates that in subdivision 5, that damages may be ascertained by agreement of the owners and the town board. Unless such agreement is made, or the owners release in writing all claims to damages, the same shall be assessed. And then it goes on to say that where that's the case, an award of damages must be
I'd be remiss, Mr. Whitty, if I didn't ask you this, because I asked Mr. Paul when he started. It appears that we're into all sorts of issues, and I want to bring you back to the fact that appellant is challenging the procedural validity of the 2000 road vacatur. Is this not time barred?
Your Honor, I believe it is, and that argument has been asserted both at the summary judgment level and the briefing level in the Court of Appeals here. And there is no appeal right where there is an agreement for vacation. Again, subdivision.
Well, there would be an appeal right if you're basing it on a contract type of situation and you're alleging a breach, and then you're looking at 6 years. But we're going back to year 2000.
I agree, Your Honor. And that, you know, how could a town, what finality would ever any decision relating to the vacation, creation, or alteration of a town road have if you could appeal it decades down the line? That said, the specific appeal process discussed in the statute, and I'll touch on the 6-year statute for the contract claim that could have existed. But the specific appeal right that is contained in the statute kicks in after 40 days of an award of damages. But when there's an agreement on damages, as there was here, there is no award of damages required by the statute. And what that tells us is when you make an agreement with the town on damages on vacation, there's no appeal. And that language can be found in the statute. Every agreement and release,
Under what authority would anyone have a right to damages when they've requested what they've received? This seems to me to be contrary than the town taking action that's detrimental to a property owner. Here, a property owner says, please do this for me. I'm asking you to do something. And, oh, by the way, now that you've done this to me, I want damages. Does that make any sense? But I guess what I'm getting at, counsel, is you're spending a lot of time talking about damages, and frankly, I don't even see where it emerges. It's your argument. You can argue whatever you want, but the damages issues to me seems to unless there's some authority that says when you ask for something, you can also say, well, give me money too.
Many years ago as well. Going back to the in those older cases, the Sonic and Dolan cases, that's what you've got. This is a different kind of misrecital or more or less clerical error in the legal description. We're not talking about how many feet behind the mechanic shed it is, like it was in the Sonic case. This is a very defined legal description that, notwithstanding the south versus north terminology, any surveyor and really any person who read it and had a plot map could find it very easily. That really eliminates, I think, any merit to the claim that the 2000 proceedings were defective. And that was also found by the district court, which we would argue properly invalidated the 2000 proceedings. So once we get past that, we have the final 300 feet of Gist Road vacated by agreement. That agreement is final. It can be undone. The procedural challenges are waived. We move on to Ross and Phyllis Jordan's daughter, who apparently is unhappy with the agreement her mother and father made. She attempts now to raise all these objections to the 2000 proceedings in the town without the assistance of having, or the benefit of having the agreement themselves, attempts to correct the misrecital in the road order from 2000, the April 11th, 2000 road order, and puts together a corrective order. In addition to correcting the misrecital, they did what they thought that the town board had done back in 2000, which was vacate the final 600 feet or 680 feet of the road. Further objection came from Phyllis and Ross Jordan's daughter, the appellant here, and so they started anew with the uncertainty arising from the misrecital, as well as to try to get or maintain access to the Jordan Trust property. And they did that by going through a whole new set of compliance procedures to vacate the final 680 feet of the road, and that was done in the summer of 2018. While vacating the road, and as part of vacating the road, the town sought to reserve a cartway access easement that would run over the vacated portion of the road and provide access to the Jordan Trust property. The district court got this right, and that is the 2000 proceedings were valid. As a result, the 2018 vacation proceedings really only impacted the last the 380 feet preceding the last 300 feet of the road. But the point of the town's ability to reserve this cartway or an access easement with virtues of a cartway is can be found in the statutes, particularly 160.29, that talks about that provides towns in proceedings under statute to vacate a road to address the easements that exist therein. Council wants to suggest that that's only for utilities, but that is not. Careful reading of that statute renders those two separate. And lastly, Your Honor, I'll come back to the agreement. Should the appellant prevail on invalidating either the 2000 or the 2018 road vacation proceedings, this agreement is never nullified. Future and subsequent road vacation proceedings could go forward. And I just want to make that clear because I started with this case starts and ends with this agreement, and it truly does. Your Honor, seeing that my time has now run out, I would ask respectfully that the district court's order dismissing appellant's action be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. A couple of points that I would like to make. I would point out there was no appeal by the respondent of the decision of the trial court. So there was no cross appeal. Consequently, I would submit that this court is bound by
by the decision of the trial court with respect to the timing of appellant's challenge of the 2000 effort to vacate the end of the Gist Road. And I'm going to quote, for your honors, the ruling and hopeful thing by the trial court with respect to that issue. Judge Flurkey writes, the plaintiff's challenge to the 2000 vacation order are not barred by the timing of their appeal, colon. As covered below, the plaintiff's claims for damages as they relate to the 2000 vacation order are barred as parent, among other reasons, parent, the plaintiff failed to raise such claims in a timely manner. However, while claims that for damages may be barred, Minnesota case law appears to suggest that a plaintiff may bring suit challenging as invalid a town's order establishing or modifying a road at any time, despite the plaintiff's failure to comply with statutes regarding timelines for the appeal. See SOMEC, S-O-M-E-K, versus Town of Minnesota, Minnesota Lake. And then citations omitted. You can read it yourself in terms of the court citation. The court nevertheless finds the arguments relating to the validity of the 2000 vacation order to be unpersuasive as detailed below. My point in that is that if this court rules that my client's attack on the, let me start over, it would be improper, I submit, when there has been no cross appeal by the respondent on that holding, that that is the law of this case, and it would be improper for the Minnesota Court of Appeals to kind of take it on its own accord to say that my client's appeal of the 2000 vacation proceeding was time barred. And that's it with respect to that. No cross appeal. That's final. I haven't talked much about the 2018 attempt to vacate. The reason, and the record is replete with the reason that the 2017 and 2018 efforts to vacate were that the previous attorneys of the township recognized the fatal defects in its efforts back in 2000 to vacate the end of the 300 feet of the Gist Road, wherever that is, whether it's on Jordan property or off Jordan property. It is undisputed, however, that wherever it is, it landlocked the Jordans, and the record reflects that an attorney, Mr. Helwig, pointed out accurately that without another access, it is contrary to statute to landlock a...
But your client's predecessor agreed in writing. An agreement between Ross Jordan and the town says, and I'm quoting from the agreement, Ross Jordan enters into this agreement with the town of Breveter, knowing that the vacated section of roadway is the only established access to his property. End of quote.
I hear every word you're saying, Your Honor. And so then it boils down to, in the legal analysis, I'm aware of that. I think it's more of a maintenance agreement. I don't think that it was ever contemplated that that they would lose access to their property, but that potentially could happen. Then if the court hangs its hat on that agreement and doesn't require and follow the case law that says the only way to vacate a road, actually doesn't say the end of the road, vacate any portion of a town road is by strict statutory compliance. If then the court, to affirm this decision of the trial court, would say if you go get an agreement from the affected landowner or landowners, that's going to be good enough. You don't have to do any of the statutory steps, no notice to anybody, just get an agreement, vacate it, and that's good enough. I think that would be a very slippery slope. Then one final point, and it's the procedure of it. Upon the Buck versus City of Winona case and McCune versus McCarville, immediately upon the vacation of the end of the road or the road, the title reverts to the landowners and the town loses all power over it. Here the town of Breveter says it vacated the end of the Gist Road and then it exercised
Counsel, you're over your time.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. That concludes court's calendar this morning. Thank you.
All rise.